If you're here for the first time and you want to let us know you're here, take one of the blue cards from the pocket of the chair in front of you, jot some contact info on that, and when the offering bag comes around at the end of the service, drop that blue card into the offering bag if you'd like us to be in touch with you. So a few days ago, I was reminded of an old prayer written by a man named Frank Morris. It's one of those things that makes you laugh and makes you think. So Frank wrote, "Dear Lord, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, overindulgent, coveted my neighbor's spouse, or taken your name in vain, and I'm very thankful for all of that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then, I'm going to need a lot of help from you today. Amen." I smile when I read that prayer again because it's typical of most of us. A Christian life wouldn't be quite so hard if we just could stay in bed all day. It's all the stuff that happens after we get up that tends to give us little challenges. So this morning, I want to talk to you for a few moments about obeying God. Obeying God. I'm going to make two assumptions. First, I'm going to assume that most of us who are here this morning on one level truly want to obey God. You want to make God happy. That is, as followers of Jesus, we want to do the right thing. We really want to please our Lord if we can. So in putting it that way, I'm giving all of us the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to start with the assumption that in your better moments, you really want to please God. But my second assumption this morning is that none of us obeys God all the time. As James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote, we all stumble in many ways. So that little bedside prayer is basically right. Gossip's no problem until we hear something juicy. We usually don't lose our temper as long as we're not around people. We're usually not grumpy or nasty until somebody's in our face. We do okay as long as we're in bed. It's the stuff that happens after that that gets us in trouble. So obedience isn't necessarily easy, is it? It's a challenge that takes deliberate courage every day. I'm glad you're here to worship with us today because you're going to watch three followers of Jesus as they come up and get in the tank and are baptized. I need to tell you a little quick story here. So the deacons are responsible for setting up the baptism tank, and they got that all done yesterday and began to put the warm water in it this morning. And when we looked over, we noticed a growing puddle spreading on the floor. Our baptism tank had sprung a leak. So I had to drain the tank, pull the liner off, get the old liner, find the hole in the old liner, patch the hole in the old liner, put the liner back on, and start to refill the tank. So the water is nice and warm, it's just not very deep. So if you can be baptized, no, it's a little deep. We get to watch three followers of Jesus today get into the baptism tub and profess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and their Savior. It takes deliberate courage because they're taking the first step of obedience as a follower of Jesus in obeying his commands, and they're going to be baptized. The core concept of discipleship comes from one of Jesus' last conversations with his 11 remaining disciples just before he went to heaven. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus said that step number one of being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus, someone who's believing in Jesus and trusting in Jesus and wants to please him, wants to obey him, Jesus said that step number one of being a follower of Jesus is to be baptized. Publicly identify yourself with the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. Like when Jesus died, it's as if they died. When Jesus rose again, it was so you and I, believing in him, can have new life too. Baptism, going under and then coming up out of the water, is a simple but powerful one-act drama that demonstrates your trust in Jesus as your Savior who died for the forgiveness of all your sin so you can be made right with God. Baptism is that first step of a faithful heart. But Jesus said the next step in being a disciple after baptism, the next step of being a follower of Jesus is to begin obeying his commands. For some of us, the firstborns maybe, obeying comes easier than others who disobey either on principle or after years of practice. That was supposed to be funny, but it... I want to show you eight truths this morning. I want to show you eight principles from the Bible about obedience. You ready? If you want a Bible, want to borrow one to track along with us, raise your hand. One of the greeters will bring you a paper Bible or use GMBC Wi-Fi, GMBC Guest. Check out BibleGateway.com. We're going to a number of different texts this morning. The first one is in John chapter 14, verse 23. Because Jesus first promised to be with us if we obey him. John 14, verse 23. Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and, get this, we will come to them and make our home with them." That's pretty incredible when you think of that concept. "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. We will come to them and make our home with them." Okay, so it's important to remember that believers are not made right with God by what we do or what we don't do. That's not how you have a relationship with God. Salvation is always a free gift from God to you. There's nothing you can do to earn it. But Jesus promised a special, personal, intimate relationship with those who love him and are willing to obey his commands. I'm remembering what it was like to be a kid. I always knew that my mom and dad loved me. But I also knew that when I lied or I deliberately disobeyed them, there was tension. There was a distance, there's a separation in our relationship, even though they still love me. Jesus promised an unbroken, close intimacy with all who obey his commands. Second, obedience is an act of worship. Deb and I have been reading through the Bible chapter by chapter together this year. I'm in 2 Kings right now. A few weeks ago, I noticed one word kept popping up over and over and over again, so I began circling it every time it appeared in every chapter. Dozens of times so far, from Genesis on, I'm circling the word obey, obey, obey. Obedience is important to God. True Christian obedience flows out of a heart of gratitude for the love and the mercy and the grace that we've received from God when he sent his son Jesus to die, to bear the punishment that I deserve, that you deserve, for all my junk, all my sin, all my guilt, all my shame. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, willingly give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable." This is truly the way to worship him. Obeying Jesus with all that you have, all that you are. Obedience. Obedience is an act of worship. Third, obedience to God proves that our love is authentic. The old apostle, John, wrote, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Again, John wrote later, second epistle, verse 6, "Love means doing what God has commanded us. He's commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning." It's easy to say we love God, but actually obeying him, that's what demonstrates that you really do love God. So that connects us to number four. Obedience to God confirms our faith. Again, John wrote, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. "We can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, 'I know God,' but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person's a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we're living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." Okay, let's be honest here. None of us is perfect this side of heaven. I know I'm not. But a deliberate refusal, to obey the commands of Jesus should bring serious question if your faith is genuine, authentic, real, saving faith. I love God, but it's okay to live with my boyfriend. I love God, but it's okay to be rude to my parents. I love God, but I can lie on my taxes a little bit. Really? Obedience to God confirms if our faith is in fact genuine. Fifth, obedience is better than religion. 1 Samuel chapter 15, the old prophet Samuel replied to King Saul. He said, "What's more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" Listen, Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. Stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. Listen, too often I think we go through the motions of being a follower of Jesus. We go to church, maybe we read our Bible, maybe we say our prayers, maybe we wear a cool Christian t-shirt or wristband, and we think that that will cover our willful disobedience to what God has said and told us to do. No. No, it won't. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Okay, so sixth, disobedience has consequences. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 tells us plainly, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." I suspect that means men and women, students, we reap what we sow. It's true. The pleasures of disobedience last for a while. Disobedience sometimes is cool and fun, but the consequences hang on and on and on for a long time. I have plenty of friends who made foolish decisions in their teens and 20s, and they're still paying the consequences of those choices decades later. Disobedience has consequences. Seventh principle is related to number six. Through obedience, we avoid the shame and the guilt that comes with messing up. When I was struggling with pornography for years, one of the problems was the overwhelming sense of guilt and shame that came with my disobedience. Psalm 118 says, "You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life to your commands." Listen, forgiveness is possible, of course. Forgiveness is possible because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Praise God. The shame, the guilt can be taken away. But when you and I deliberately pursue disobedience, the embarrassment, the regret still lingers like a bad smell. It's not worth it. Not worth it. So finally, number eight, God rewards obedience. Over and over again in the Bible, we read that God blesses and rewards obedience. Jesus said, "It's more blessed, even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice." James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote, "But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you don't forget what you've heard and actually do what it says, then God will bless you for doing it." Okay, so what are some of the blessings that come with obedience? Well, sleeping with a clear conscience is one. Setting a positive example for your kids and grandkids is for them to grow up in and follow. That's another blessing of obedience. Plus, there's the uninterrupted relationship with the Savior who loves you, and the confidence that your prayers have not been derailed by your disobedience, since it's pretty obvious that God can't bless disobedience. We wonder why God's not answering our prayer. And then there's avoiding the embarrassment for yourself and your family. That's a huge blessing of obedience. And then there's bringing honor and fame, not dishonor and shame, to the name of Jesus. That's another blessing that comes with obedience, and the list goes on. So obedience as a follower of Jesus begins with being baptized, and then it continues as we learn the commands of Jesus and obey them. God promises to bless all who obey him. Who's the number one example for us in obeying God? Jesus. Jesus, because the Father sent him to earth for one purpose. Not just to feed the hungry, not just to heal the sick, not just to be a wise teacher and philosopher. The main purpose God sent his Son to Jesus to earth was to die on the cross as your substitute, taking on himself the punishment from God that your sin deserves. And Jesus was obedient even to death, the death on the cross. And blessings come to us from that obedience. Praise God. Blessings come to us from that obedience. So listen, I'll make a deal with you. I will pray for you to grow in willing obedience to God if you'll pray for me. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son Jesus from heaven to earth to die for us. Because we'd be totally lost without him. There's no way we can be good enough. There's no way we can fix all the junk. So thank you that Jesus took our place when he died, bearing our sin and our shame. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he didn't stay dead but rose from the grave to demonstrate to everybody that you are God and that you have power over sin and even death and even the grave. Thank you. Father, I pray for your blessing this morning on Kimberly and Jeremy and Melissa as they are baptized as a follower of Jesus. We claim the promise of your word that their obedience to your commands will bring blessing in their life. Father, we pray that as from this day forward, as they continue to follow Jesus, they will continue to learn his commands and to obey his commands, and you would be honored. Jesus Christ would be honored. You'd be pleased, and they would be blessed for their obedience. So we ask for each one of them. And Father, we pray for ourselves as well. Some of us are struggling with junk in our lives that we need to put away by your strength, by your power, with your help, and become obedient to what you have told us we should be doing. Would you help us, please? Father, there are some sitting here this morning who have no confidence at all that their sin is forgiven. And I pray even now that your Holy Spirit will work in them, show them that Jesus paid all the price so they can be forgiven and go free. Father, would you help us as a church family to walk in obedience and to tell everybody the good news that forgiveness is possible and you bless those who follow you. Would you help us, please? We pray in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen, amen, amen.